Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastor Steve Mays. We're glad you're taking this opportunity to deepen your study of the Scriptures. Now we invite you to follow along in your Bible as we dive into the light of the Word.
John chapter 6. Pick up where we left off last week on part 2 of an 8-part series concerning the great I Ams of the New Testament. There are about 9 or so I Ams in the New Testament. There are 7 we know for sure found here in the Gospel of John. You will find the first one starting in verse 35 where he says, I am the bread of life. And then in chapter 8, you will find that I am the light of the world. And then in chapter 10, you will find that I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then again in verse chapter 11, I am the resurrection and the life. And then you will find in chapter 15, I am the vine, and of course, I am the door. So 7 times he now takes the title that I am, claiming to be God, claiming to minister to the hearts of people. Now we started the study there in Exodus, I am that I am, which means that God becomes all that you need in your life. Jesus now, here in chapter 6, verse 35, is saying the very same thing. I am the bread of life. It was C.S. Lewis who said, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but he shouts in our pains. It is the megaphone to arouse a deaf world. Sometimes life will shoot a cannonball through your life, and the damage is pretty severe. Oh, you can see that done through a broken relationship. You can see it done when children leave the home and it's not the very best of situation. You can find it in a divorce or someone splitting on one another. You can find it when there's a ambition that is broken or something that you are building doesn't seem to work out, or maybe even sometimes a church doesn't go the way you think it ought to go. And it leaves you with just a tremendous emptiness and a hole deep within your heart. And because of the void, we become bitter. And we begin to try to fill that void with things. We oftentimes declare that we need someone or something to take the pain away. And so we grab food, or we grab a boat, or we buy a car, or we buy a home, or we get a new relationship, or we have another kid, and we're really seeking to try to fill the empty void within your heart. But the longer you live with it, you begin to realize this heartache is just not going away. And there are many of you today that have that heartache. There's something missing in your life. And that something is none other than Jesus Christ. And it's an amazing thing to me to find out that he's the only answer. There's no other answer that can take away the heartache. And so I just want to give you a simple little phrase for you to remember for the rest of your life. Heartaches are simply hungry hearts. You see, when your heart is hungry for God, your heart is aching. And the aching of the heart will never be satisfied until you come to the root of the problem. Oh, you can buy the car, but it won't be what you want because you're too critical. You can start a new relationship, but you're going to destroy that like you did before. You can get another job, but you're going to get an anger problem and tell the boss how you feel. You're finally going to have another kid, but you won't take care of that kid either. Because inside there is a breaking, there's a tremendous heartache. And so this morning, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And that is the issue, that he came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to feed and to minister and to give you life. But you also need to remember very vividly about the story of Adam and Eve, that God placed Adam into the garden, gave him a mind, gave him a heart, and gave him a will. And it was God that walked with him every evening, there to enjoy the fellowship of his mind and of his heart. But it was God that gave his will the incredible gift of choosing. You see, God had to give him a moral will. He had to give him the capacity to choose not to walk with God. He had to give him the capacity to say, no, I don't want to do this any longer. Because God was looking to be loved. Not that he needed love, but he was looking to be loved by those whom he made. And God could have made you in such a way that every day at 4 o'clock you would stop and give him love, and it would be like a doll. You pull the string. Hi, I love you, God. Good to see you. Have a nice day, and off you go back to work. But there's no emotion. There's no feeling. There's no sacrifice. There's no commitment. And God wanted to have that commitment out of your life. He wanted that sacrifice out of your life. He wanted you to show him that he was more important than anything that you've ever had or would have in your whole life. And so he gave you the opportunity to prove it. He gave you a free will. And Adam did choose, but he did not choose God. And the problem today in our lives is very simple. We don't choose God when we're hurting. We don't choose God when things are falling apart in our life. We don't choose God when our personalities are falling apart. We don't choose God to help us when there's a time of rebellion. And even now, when there's a hole in our heart because of the void of God within our life, we still don't choose God to fill the need. So Jesus came in chapter 6. He had fed the multitude. He had helped the disciples get across, you remember, to the other side. They were fearful, and he did tell them that they would cross over. So they were not listening to his voice. They did not have his promise in his heart. If Jesus said they were going to go over, they were going to go over. And the moment he got inside the ship, the Bible declares the ship was already on the other side. The multitude had run around, and they were now calling him Rabbi. And Jesus looks at him right in the face, and he says, you have followed me not because of the miracles, but because of your hunger. In other words, you want someone who will entertain you and feed you, but you have no desire for me. And they begin to challenge him. Where our fathers in the wilderness was given manna. Jesus stopped them and he said, no, your fathers did not give manna, nor did Moses, my father, gave you manna in the wilderness. It was God who gave it to you, not Moses. And then they came back to Jesus and they said, well, you did pretty well. You did one little 5,000 feeding. Can you do that for 40 years? And Jesus looks at them and says, I am the bread of life. And they begin to challenge him. Oh, you are the son of Joseph. And he challenged them. No, I am the son of Mary. Joseph adopted me. I am the son of God. And the Bible said that from that point on, he said, unless you can eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you can have no saying in me. And in chapter 6, verse 66, you always can remember this one, 666. It says, many of them departed and no longer followed the Lord. So it brings us up to the study right now that Jesus then said to his disciples, because he knew they were murmuring, are you going to leave me too? And Peter, around verse 68, went on to say, where can we go? Thou hast the words to eternal life. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter made an awesome choice to look to God. Well, this morning, as we take a look at this, I want to give you a few things to jot down. 4 times he mentions, I am the bread of life. Notice in verse 35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. Underline that. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst. And so in verse 35, I am the bread of life. Then in verse 41, the Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread, underline that, which came down from heaven. And notice it came down. It did not come from man. It came down. And then in verse 48, I am the bread of life, underline that whole verse. And then in verse 51, the fourth time, I am, and he changes it, the living bread, which means I am habitually the living bread, which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. So if any man would eat of this bread, they will have eternal life. Now that is such a radical statement. A radical statement that he is declaring to be the Word of God, I am the living bread. It forces you not to take a neutral stand. It tells you that either you are eating from God or you're not. If you are in the Word on a daily basis, then you are eating of the Lord. But this morning, 75% of the body of Christ, they estimate, do not have a devotional life. And I just want you to understand something of what's happening inside of your life. Why the habits are so strong. Why there's a tendency to go back into the world. Why the enemy has such a stronghold in your life. And the reason why is because you have made a decision that the Word of God is not important. Therefore, Satan has made a decision to rip your life apart. And because of that, there is a gaping hole. And now you're seeking to fill it, but you can't fill it. Because there's a void, and that void has been given by God, and you can never fill it with anything but God. The Bible declares He placed eternity within your heart. And you're never going to be satisfied, no matter how many times you're married, or how many times you're pregnant, or how many CEOs you are, you will never be content until there's peace in your heart that you're going to heaven. He declared in two verses, in verse 53, he said, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, ye have no life in you. That's a pretty strong statement. In other words, if you're not, you're dying right now. And then in chapter 8, verse 24, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. So Jesus is very simply declaring the importance of the Word of God. Let me give you three things to jot down, and maybe it will help you to remember. Number one, He wants to feed you. Number one, He desires to feed you. He wants to feed you. Number two, He wants to fill you. Number two, He wants to fill you. And number three, He wants to free you. He wants to free you. Three simple things this morning, what God wants to do in your life. Number one, He wants to feed you. Number two, He wants to fill you. Number three, He wants to free you. But there were many that walked away and no longer desired God. You see, the choice of their will came. Now, the choice this morning is for me to listen, not only in my heart, but my mind, to logically see if this ministers to your heart. And so He wants to feed us. Notice in verse 50 through 53, this is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Underline the word not die. If you eat, you will not die. I like that. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If a man eat of this bread, the bread that came down, he shall live forever. Not the bread that I teach you, not the bread from the pulpit, not the bread from the radio, not the bread from anything else, but the bread that comes from heaven through your word to your heart. I am the living bread, which came down from heaven. If a man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. In Jeremiah, and you need not turn there, in chapter 15, verse 16, it says, And thy word did I find, and it was the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. And there's one other scripture, and then I'll tie this little thought together, in 2 Samuel 9:11. It talks about a very young boy that was dropped by the maid. Mephibosheth was his name. He was the son of King Saul. And when the enemy came in, the woman dropped him and paralyzed both of his legs. When they went to kill all of Saul's men, they went after also the sons of Saul. But there was one who escaped, and this is this boy, Mephibosheth. David took him. He placed him at his own table. He put his legs under the white tablecloth. And he said to everyone around him, he will eat from the king's table from this day on. I think that's one of the most greatest pictures of what God's done in my life. He has taken my failures and placed it underneath of the righteousness of Christ. He has invited me to partake of his table. And he has given me tremendous honor to speak in the king's name. The problem is that I need to be free. I need to be fed deeply within my heart. I'm never going to find peace. These last 2 years have been the most difficult years of my life. Oh, the church is growing, and things are doing well with the staff, and there's no problems with the church, but in my own life with my own family, it has been a time that I've wanted to quit, wanted just to leave, because relationships were strained with my children. Not between my wife and I, but between my children. I have a wonderful daughter, and she is so much like me, and I bless her for it, until she begins to correct me. And she looked at me one day, and we got into it, and she said, Dad, I am so tired of you blaming me for your Christian walk. And I looked at her, and I said, well, I don't believe you can even say that. Oh, Dad, you are not right with God because your eyes are on me and not on God. And I said, I hate you. I can't. But she was so right. You see, I forgot that I was the father. I forgot that I was the parent. I forgot that she was the love of my life. I forgot that she was my angel. I was angry. I was bitter. I was mad. And it had nothing to do with what she did. It had everything to do that I took my eyes off of God and put my eyes upon what he allowed to happen within our family. And it was a year where my heart just died. And I became angry, and I felt like I wanted my Harley Davidson back, and I wanted an attitude, and I wanted my bandana back, and you know, I just want to run over some people. That's all I want to do. I'm just nasty. And I was nasty with some people and staff and nasty. And every night I went to bed and woe was me. And a hole was through my heart. And how could she and how could he? And yet they didn't do anything. And when she said that to me, she was right. I've lost 2 years of my life because Satan ripped me off. I had to go back and apologize. And everything's great, better than it's ever been before, but I'm ashamed. Because not only did it mess up my relationship with my kids, it also messed up my relationship with my wife. I'm not going to get too close because I don't want to get hurt. And then it messed up my relationship with you guys. I don't want to get too close because I'm always getting hurt. And then I said to God, I don't want to get too close to you because you always hurt me. And then God said, let's talk. And of course, that was the wrong thing to say to God. And when it was all said and done, he said, "Stephen, I've given you everything, and you're still not happy. You see, it's not things. You're missing someone." And I said, "What, God? Tell me." And he said, "An aching heart is a hungry heart. And because of the lie of the enemy, you haven't been hanging with me, and you're hungry. You're really, really hungry." And some of you, when you become hungry, you go berserk until you get food. Well, sometimes when you starve yourself spiritually, you go ballistic. And he's willing to come into your life and say to you, "It's time to eat." It's not a difficult thing where I need to get my life together. No, you've messed it up. It's time to eat. "Well, you don't understand. I need to get through this divorce." No, you don't understand. You need to eat. And if you're going to continue to mess up your life, you're not going to eat. But he said, if you will eat, then you will live. And you will have eternal life. And God will take the void away. And God will fill it with a love far beyond what you could ever know. And so God came to save you. God came to feed you. He wants you to eat of his flesh and drink of his blood. He wants fellowship with you. But many will not do it, and they're dying. And so we see the carnality. We see the greed. We see the anger. And so he declares here, very simply, "Come to my table. But I'm crippled. Put your feet under my skirt. Eat of my table. Enjoy my life. I'll do the work. Just come and eat." And he looked around and he was telling the people, "Come and eat of me. It's not the bread that perishes. You want the bread that doesn't perish." And that brings me to my second thought. Not only does God want to feed me, secondly, God wants to fill me. Notice in chapter 6, verse 35, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth in me shall never thirst." Verse 53, "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily," that means pay attention, "I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of his blood, ye have no part in him," or no life in him. "Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the very last days." You remember Jesus said, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled. But go back to verse 35. "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. You that come to me, you will never hunger." Underline that. And underline the word, "You that believe on me shall never thirst." They tell you in English, never use the word never. Here is God using the word never. And this is probably the most profound statement that still haunts me to this day. "Stephen, if you will give me everything, surrender all to me, you will never hunger for position. You will never hunger for power. You will never hunger for anything in your life. And Stephen, if you give me everything, you will never thirst towards lust. You will never thirst towards greed. You will never thirst towards the things of this world." So by the very nature of our thirsting, and by the very nature of the things that we hunger for, by the passion of our life and the desires and the ambitions and the imaginations of our heart, it tells us that we are hungering for the world. And that is the reason why there's so much pain in this room. You see, Jesus came to take away the pain. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled." And if there's pain, it is because A, you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, or B, you have not surrendered control to the authority of God within your life. He said to the woman at the well, "If you drink of this cup," what? "You're going to thirst again. If you think you're going to go down and buy a car, it's going to bring joy, you're going to have to buy another one. If you think you're going to get married and that's going to solve your problem, hey, just talk to anybody. Doesn't work that way. I just have a kid, one more kid, and I'll be happy." Well, one more kid doesn't make you happy. It's a wonderful thing having children and being married or being single, but I need to do something. If I could just have an in and out, just right now, an in and out. Well, what I want to do is use my will to say, this In-N-Out is going to bring me great joy because I know that I shouldn't have it. My cholesterol is too high, I'm overweight, I have all kinds of problems with my health, and yet I want this In-N-Out. Stephen, eat of my bread. Oh, Lord, but your bread doesn't taste like an In-N-Out. I mean, opening up the Bible and reading 2 Chronicles, Lord, that's like eating liver. I want an In-N-Out. Well, go ahead and eat the In-N-Out and tell me what happens in 2 hours. You're hungry again. But if you eat of me, you're never hungry. If you taste of me, you're totally satisfied. Well, God, I want a cream puff. Give me a cream puff. No, you don't need a cream puff. You need to have this good piece of bread and some fruit. Oh, but a cream puff. And so you eat the cream puff. And it's gone. He's not into giving you sweets. He's into giving you what? Substance. And the problem with our society is we're sweet, but we have no substance. We're hungry, but we have no substance. And Jesus said, if you eat of me, you're never going to hunger again. If you drink of me, you're never going to thirst. To the woman at the well, she took and she said, come, meet a man who told me everything about me. He has filled my life. And she left the bucket and she went away filled, never again needing to go spiritually anywhere in her life. She was searching. She was hoping. And when I eat of the bread, then things begin to happen. And then lastly, I find not only does he want to feed me, secondly, he wants to fill my life, but thirdly, he wants to free me. Notice in verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can bear it? In other words, the bread is now ready to strengthen. If you say, the Lord wants to feed me, then I would say to you, yes, God wants to save you. If you say, he wants to fill me, I would say, yes, God wants to satisfy you. If you tell me God wants to free me, then I would tell you that God wants to strengthen you. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard of this, this is a hard saying, who can bear it or hear it? When Jesus, and notice the word hard saying, not a difficult thing, hard. In the Greek, it says they didn't want to do it. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? Does it bother you? It is the spirit that quickens the flesh, profit nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go? And Simon answered in him and said to him, shall we go? Where shall we go? Thou hast the words to eternal life. In other words, God, if you will strengthen me, I will be able to do what I need to do. If you will feed me, then I will be rescued from the pit I'm in. God, if you will fill me, I'll be able to be used by you. And let me remind you, whom the Lord takes, he breaks. And whom the Lord uses, he strengthens. The breaking process are the heartaches of life. But they are the messages that your heart is really, really hungry. So you can be bitter at your wife, or you can be bitter with the children, or you can be angry at the school, or you can be bitter with the church, or you can be bitter with your job, or you can hate your car. It doesn't make a difference. Why are you that way? Well, you don't know what it is to be the color I am. You don't know what it's like to have the education I don't have. You don't understand what it is not to have a good job. It doesn't make a difference. The question I would ask is, are you eating of the bread of life? Then you will never hunger and you will never thirst. And it doesn't make a difference what this world does. You are satisfied and you are content. I'd like to end with an interesting story, a true story. I think it's in Genesis 17. You don't need to turn there, but Abraham had a nephew named Lot. Lot got himself in trouble. and was taken by a group of kings away. Word came to Abraham that Lot had been taken. Lot, being the selfish man that he was, deserved it. Abraham, being the righteous man that he was, giving Lot the first choice over Sodom to choose. Because he was a godly man, gathered together the troops, and 300 of his men went and did battle, destroyed the kings, and they took Lot and relieved Lot and brought him back and rescued Lot and his family. That's a wonderful story. But there's a little bit more to the story. If you read on, it declares, "And on Abraham's way back, he was tired and exhausted. And he ran into Melchizedek. And Melchizedek gave him bread and wine." And I'm here to tell you a very simple truth about life. That after four services, when I get done, I don't need rest. My body is screaming, "You need a nap." My soul is screaming, "You need food." You've just emptied the icebox and you're empty. When he took the cheese and wine, the bread and wine, that was the strength he needed to finish his life. It wasn't the miracles of the fish that gave him faith. And I don't believe miracles can give faith. But I do believe the eating of his word will keep you from falling. And some of you just need to sit still and have God love you all over again, because you have left your first love and you got a hole in your heart and you're doing everything you don't want to do except the one thing you know you ought to do. Find a quiet place, open up the Psalms, and just read. You don't need a vacation. You don't need time off. You don't need more money. You don't need a new wife. You don't need new children. You need a new heart. Father, I pray this morning that God, that you would speak to us in a very special way. Lord, as we sit here just for a moment and ponder, we ponder the heartache. I thank you, Lord, for what you taught me that I can teach them. I feel so ashamed, and yet it was so real. And Lord, it's so good to know that you are in control. That, Lord, through this heartache, you just taught me that I had a hungry heart. And my hunger was to put you first. Above my family, above the church, above my friends. You are to be the lover of my life, regardless of whatever happens.
That's Pastor Steve Mays wrapping up our study time together. If you'd like to know more about the many other Bible study helps we offer here at Calvary Chapel South Bay, visit us online at www.ccsouthbay.org or give us a call at 1-800-339-WISE. Until next time, God bless.